bring us God's word. So, Father, as Janet comes and opens this beautiful psalm to us this morning, I pray that you will anoint her to speak to us what you want us to hear this morning. So open our ears and open our hearts and open our eyes to receive what you want to say to us this morning. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Suzanne, and thank you, Lucy, for reading. That was great. When I came to prepare this, I discovered that I had preached on Psalm 8 exactly 3 years ago, and I talked about dung beetles, because I'd just come back from Uganda on the trip there, and we'd gone to Murchison Falls Game Park, and I was talking about the wonders of creation. And rather than get very excited by all the giraffes I saw there, I looked down at my feet, and I saw what looked like a tennis ball rolling up the slope, and it was a little dung beetle pushing this ball of dung up the slope, and then it slipped, and then the beetle scurried back and pushed it up. It was a marvel to see. We're thinking today about psalms of praise. Particularly this Psalm 8 is a psalm praising God for his creation. And if you keep your service sheets open, you can see the words of Psalm 8 in front of you. We've been looking at different psalms over the summer. You probably know there are 150 of them. But what I hadn't realised is they cover a time span of hundreds and hundreds of years. They cover joy, they cover lament, they cover thanksgiving. Joy and praise when things are going well, lament when things go badly, and then thanksgiving when God answers the prayers. But there are also some of the psalms are about wisdom or royal kingship or trust. And if you look at Psalm 8, it says this one was a psalm of David. But he didn't write all the psalms. Asaph wrote some of them. Solomon wrote some of them. The sons of Korah wrote some of them. But they were used in corporate worship. They were used in the temple. And they were used for special festivals. I discovered that the title Psalms in the Hebrew, I have a son who's studying Hebrew, so I thought I'd slip a bit in, is Tehillim. I think I've said that right. And the word for Psalms, Tehillim, it actually means praises, praises. It's like the first hymn book, if you like. And yet, if you count up all the 150, there are actually slightly more on lament, woe, oh sorrow, than there are on praise. But the Psalms end, Psalm 146 up to 150, with praise God, praise him with music, praise him in the heavens. But today we're looking at Psalm 8 as an example of one of those many psalms of praise. Now, just before the service began, Adrian was playing something I asked him to. I don't know if any of you recognised what it was. How great thou art, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made. How great thou art. And that psalm, that song, did you know Songs of Praise 5 years ago voted it the most popular hymn? I was quite surprised, most popular hymn they decided it was. And it's actually based on this psalm, Psalm 8. I discovered it was written by a Swede. I didn't know Swedish people wrote hymns, but anyway, he wrote this poem. He was only 26, and he was walking at the side of a lake, and the church bells were ringing, and a sudden thunderstorm came down. His chap's name was Carl Boberg. Thunderstorm came down, there was noise, there was wind, and then it all stopped. And he could still hear the church bells, and then a rainbow came out, and then he could hear a thrush singing. And so he went back and wrote this poem. It was translated into German, then Russian, and it's ended up as a really popular English hymn. But it's based on Psalm 8. Consider all the works thy hand hath made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. Billy Graham used it quite a lot in his crusades in Britain, and he said, I really like that song because it glorifies God. It turns our eyes towards God rather than upon ourselves, Billy Graham said, I use it as often as possible. It is such a God-honoring song. So what is this psalm that is based on? It's about God's magnificence as seen in creation. First four verses about God, the great creator, and then the next verse is about man or woman as the chief agent of God, given dominion over the world. But it starts and it ends with the same verses. So verse 1 and verse 9, technical name is an inclusio. It includes something between identical verses. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Lord, Yahweh, our Lord. It's corporate. We sing it together. Our God, majestic. How majestic is your name in all the earth. In the prayers, Roberto mentioned North Korea and mentioned the Christians persecuted there. And even in the prison camps, I heard at New Wine, a little old lady, a North Korean lady, talk about how she would praise God. She wasn't allowed to. When she was forced to stand outside, when the snow was falling, when the wind was biting, and nobody could hear, and she would sing Amazing Grace and some of the other hymns. How majestic is your name, God, in all the earth, even in a North Korean prison camp. God is the universal, the sovereign ruler, the only one to be honoured. It goes on and says, you've set your glory in the heavens through the praise of children and infants. If you're ever here on a Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, you'll see the children and the infants, and they come up to the front and they wave little ribbons, and sometimes they wave flags, and sometimes they dance, and you can see on their faces there is so much joy. It's actually really, really encouraging to us older ones there. They are praising God, and I'm sure God delights in the praises of those children and infants. Verse 3, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place. We don't really see the stars much because of the light pollution. But back when David wrote this song, he was a shepherd boy. And I'm sure at night he'd be sitting out guarding his sheep. It was completely dark and he could see all those stars in the sky and the moon. And so he wrote, when I consider God made every single star. And I love that phrase, the heavens are the work of your fingers. It just brought to mind a potter with their fingers sort of shaping things out of clay. God has made the whole universe. He is Creator God. And that's why when that Swedish chap was wandering around, he marveled at God's creation, the trees, at the thunder, at the rainbow, at the bird's song. And when I wander around Clifton, I too marvel. I love cherry blossom. I love looking in people's gardens. Do you? I love fuchsias. I just love seeing the beauty of creation, a sunrise or a sunset. And then the psalmist says, verse 4, and yet what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? And that's the paradox. We are so small compared to the whole vastness of creation. And yet God is mindful of us. He cares for us. God still cares for us humans. God created the whole world, and yet he's interested in little old me and you. You've made him little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet. And so the psalmist is marveling at how God made people. He made heavenly beings, angels, and yet he made people to be rulers over creation. He's given us dominion over nature. This psalm is quoted by the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 2, and also, in fact, in 1 Corinthians 15 as well, particularly that almost messianic bit about you have put everything under their feet. Jesus in the line of those Davidic kings, the ideal Israelite, the human who became man, humbled himself, crowned with glory after suffering. So just a hint of a messianic bit there. Jesus, the ruler over everything, the ultimate ruler, everything under his feet. Then we finish with this list of animals and birds, and we've got fish, we've got flocks and herds and birds and fish in creation. And the psalmist is saying, us humans have been made rulers. We are given them to dominate, but in a good way. We are given to care for, to look after our environment. And so the question is, how do we respond to God's creation? How do we care for God's creation, for flocks and herds and wild animals and birds and fish? Now, do we have any dog lovers here this morning? Did anyone see the news this morning about Lucy's Law? It was about a new law about puppy dogs, and they're bringing it in to stop puppy dog farms, saying that you won't be allowed to buy puppies less than 6 months old unless they're from a registered dealer. But it's an example of people properly caring for animals. I don't know how many of you watch Blue Planet, particularly when they talked about the oceans, and they showed awful things about wildlife and birds and marine life with plastic stuck inside them. And there's quite a campaign at the moment to stop throwing things in the oceans. How can we care for God's creation? It does matter. Recycling in Bristol, it does matter how we use the things God has given us, how we worry about litter, how we sort out recycling. So praise God, yes, for creation, but remember, God cares for us, and we are called to care for his creation as well. And then the psalm finishes again. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. So this wonderful psalm of praise for God's magnificence. Some of the other psalms in the book of Psalms are about the things God has done, his deeds. Some of them are about music. Some of them are about God's mercy or thanksgiving or victories won or his temple or Zion. But it's interesting, the psalms were used corporately. They were used as a group would praise God together. O Lord, our Lord. It's an encouragement for everybody to join in praising God. I just want to finish with some words from the epistle last Sunday. So last Sunday at the 8, this was read from Ephesians 5. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul in the Ephesians talks about praise being a mixture of psalms, but also hymns and also songs from the Spirit. And he talks about making music from your heart to the Lord. Worship comes from the heart. I don't know how many of you enjoy watching songs of praise, but do you ever look at people's faces when they're singing? And you can tell which ones are really worshipping God and which ones are hoping to be spotted by the TV cameras. And you can see people praising God. And when it comes from the heart, there's something about the rapt face that they show. And I see it sometimes, I see it here in church on Sundays. People are so caught up in praising God from the heart. You can almost see it in their faces. It's the same as those children I mentioned I sometimes see on a Sunday morning where they're singing praises to God our Father. So to finish, we have this wonderful psalm of praise, particularly praising God for creation. I sometimes use the Psalms in my morning quiet times. Often I'll read a psalm and then I'll read my passage for the day. They're useful when you want to praise God. Look at the Psalms, read out the Psalms. You can use it individually, but also we're called to use them within our gatherings there. So often we'll sing songs based on the Psalms. So we praise God for his majesty. We praise God for his creation. We praise him for making us. We praise him for giving us that dominion over nature. So let's praise God with all our hearts. Amen.